It's time for Wolo and Friends on Sports 56, presented by Homer Skelton Hyundai. Here is your host, the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Oh my gosh, what have we got to talk about today, right? Used to be April. Nothing going on. Well, plenty now. Laird Veach, 4.5 years. A lot of stuff happened in 4.5 years for Laird Veach. Gone, replacements coming in. That'll be interesting. We'll be talking about that later in the program with Jason Munns on candidates, Joe Denk on the development. We'll talk business and sports with him. NBA drama last night. What a doubleheader on TNT. All those guys who have been really part of our sports culture. EJ, Ernie Johnson, and Shaq, and of course, Barkley and Kenny Smith, the Jet. They've been covering the NBA on this particular platform, I don't know, at least 10 years, right? Long time. They said last night was the best back-to-back games, the best doubleheader they ever had. Philly had the game in hand in New York to even the series up. That went away in 14 seconds. Incredible how that changed. And then the nightcap, the Lakers in Denver had the lead the whole game, up by 20 in the second half. And a guy who had struggled the whole night, Jamal Murray, hits a 15-footer over Anthony Davis to win the game. 2-0, that's the series. Everything is 2-0. Three more games tonight. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Masters ratings in, down 20%. A lot of stuff. FedEx NIL deal with Memphis. We'll talk about that. And the NBA TV rights. Did you know that for ESPN and for Time Warner, which owns TNT, did you know that those rights, the window for those two to negotiate by themselves, closed last night? So it's up for grabs for everybody. Why did this happen? Is the ESPN and TNT platform not good enough, or are they not interested in the league? Were the numbers not good enough? We're going to talk with Joe Denk about all of that. So there is so much to talk about. Oh, and did I mention the Tigers got two more guards yesterday? A guy from Texas who at one time was the freshman of the year at Iowa State, Tyrese Harris, and Baraka Okoji. Two, looks like, blue-collar guys, too, right? I mean, they're going to work hard. Looks like Memphis came away with good ones, but everything's guards except for Dane Danger. I mean, you look at this team now, and you've got Harris, Okoji, P.J. Haggerty, Kobe Rogers, Jared Harris, that's the freshman, or the high school kid that's coming in. You got Dane Danger and Jordan up front. Don't know about DJ, but if he comes back, and then there's Joe Cooper and Nick Stansbury, all guards. So at this moment, you really have all guards except for Nick Jordan and Dane Danger. They got to have some big guys. I think in the wings waiting, you would hope, but we will talk about that with Jason Munns in a little bit. I do want to go back to Laird Veach and his 4.5 year tenure, which in this day and age, I'm not sure, because I mean, athletic directors come and go so quickly now. It's not like you see guys in that particular position for 20, 25, 30 years. Like, I remember. That seems to be a thing of the past for sure. In the time when Laird was first hired, I mean, everything was going great. The team, basketball team, was amazing. Penny had gotten that first class in. Of course, that became a problem in an IAARP investigation. But That wasn't there. Norvell was taking the team to new heights. And then everything went away. I mean, they had the problem with the NCAA and the IARP and the Wiseman deal for Penny. Laird had to be involved in all of that. Then there was the loss of Norvell to Florida State. And after, I think, a pretty good, thorough process of going through what was available and what was the best thing for the team and consistency, and it sure turned out to be, in retrospect, a terrific pick, and that was Ryan Silverfield. And he just got finished locking up Ryan Silverfield for 5 more years with a very interesting contract with automatic rollovers and everything else that is in it, and a good deal, obviously, for Ryan, because he is going to be well paid for a guy who is in the group of five. Then the stadium renovation, which just finally has come to fruition, the gift from Fred Smith, the $120 from the state, which the Grizzlies were trying initially to get all of, and enough pressure was put on, and Mr. Smith stepped up, and Memphis at least got $120 out of that, and then another $50 coming from the great philanthropist and savior of our city, Fred Smith and FedEx. And then the deal again with FedEx for NIL, which is a new national model, which is, I think, as everyone has said, is really what the intent of NIL was supposed to be, which is a guy, a player, will be branded or using his brand through another entity to better him and to get paid and to better the brand. And that's exactly what FedEx did with this $5 million a year for the next 5 years, $25 million total. All that under Laird Veach's watch. Now, there was some turbulent water. Let's be honest. I think the past president, Dr. Rudd, was not happy the first time Laird had flirted with the head position of AD at Missouri, which he did not get. And Dr. Rudd was leaving, so everything was there to be status quo. But had Dr. Rudd stayed, I don't know what that relationship would have been like after that. But that all worked out. And then Laird, who has had stints at Missouri before, is a fundraiser in the athletic department. He worked for Learfield in Missouri. Obviously has a great deal of love for the Big 12 because he played football in the Big 12 at Kansas State. And apparently has a great deal of affection for Columbia, Missouri, because he's been there twice before and flirted once before trying to get this position, and now he has landed this position. I'm thrilled for him and his family because obviously that's where he really wanted to be. He took a chance on going after this job again after ruffling feathers the first time when he didn't get it. So it means something to him and to his family. I know he'll be there a long time. And I think if we all look back and think about what was accomplished under his watch this last 4.5 years, all you can go is thumbs up. Really positive stuff. So I wish him well. There are so many different people that you could choose from for this position. Jeff Crane has done a remarkable job in his position as the deputy. If they are trying to just keep continuity and make it easy because everything's in place, Jeff Crane gets the job. There is a guy who left less than a year ago who I know is well-loved and is a great, great fundraiser, and that's so important in the Memphis AD position. That is Adam Walker. Adam left to go be the president and CEO of their alumni chapter, or their alumni foundation, I think is the better way to describe it, which is, by the way, they're one of the biggest alumni foundations in America. And it was a plum job with a really good raise for Adam, and he's got a young family. I couldn't blame him for leaving, but I know his heart has been in Memphis. I know his wife's heart's been in Memphis. I know he would love to come back to have this particular position. He would be a great choice, as would Jeff Crane. There's guys like Mark Allnut who have been in this position before that are ADs. I doubt Ren Baker, who's now the AD at West Virginia, would leave a Power 5 school to come back, but there were a lot of people that enjoyed the experience of Ren Baker as a leader. He could be put on that candidate's list. Ziggy is a guy who's a AD now that came here. Ryan Alpert is at Tennessee. He started here. I don't think this was his first job, but he honed his skills here. I know I'm going to miss some people because I will say this, between R.C. Johnson and Tom Bowen, they brought a lot of people in that were really good people that have gone on to other really good jobs. Memphis has been a great training base for a lot of athletic administrators. So there's a lot of people. Oh, and by the way, I should mention one other guy. A guy who went to Melrose High School, a guy who played basketball for the University of Memphis, a guy who worked in the Memphis Athletic Department in the M Club. That's Tim Duncan, who is the athletic director at New Orleans. He would be another guy that I would think would be in the mix. I know there's a guy named Alan Green, who's the a deputy or in the administration at Auburn that I think worked in the past with President Hargrave. So there is a relationship there. I would throw him into the mix. There are so many excellent candidates out there to replace Laird Veach. And I will say, thanks to Laird and really Tom Bowen and RC, everything has been set up because Memphis has maintained a very high profile as a Group of Five athletic department. There's just no way around it. Budget-wise, exposure-wise, the league has, although it hasn't been a Power Five, it has always been in the best of the Group of Five, in a league that's been the best in the Group of Five. And you always had people, always had schools that provided you with great rivalries between Louisville and Houston and Cincinnati. Those schools, in UCF later, those schools put emphasis and exposure on athletics. And they did a good job of keeping that up. So this is a plum job. Memphis will get an excellent replacement for Laird Veach. There is no question in my mind about that. But salute, tip of the cap, Laird Veach. I really believe in his heart he liked Memphis, but his love was Big 12. His love was Columbia because he's been there before and he tried to get there before and he got there now. So I really do wish him the very, very best. All right, last night again, what a doubleheader. So I mentioned what occurred in each of these games, right? The Knicks come back, 5 points, 14 seconds. They get a three after a missed three from DiVincenzo, who knows that the kid knows winning, doesn't he? I mean, he's the Knicks are a little like his alma mater, Villanova. You look at that team, you go, really? That's a two seed? How are they a two seed, and yet they're up 2-0 in this series? There was some questionable calls. A timeout that was not given to Philadelphia when Nick Nurse, their coach, claims he had tried to get two or three times a timeout call to inbound the ball at midcourt. Didn't get it from the officiating. And you know, we've seen NBA coaches this year go onto the floor, get technicals, get tossed because they couldn't get a timeout called. This is something the NBA officials have to work on, in my mind. And then when the inbounds pass came, how many times do you think the player that received the ball got fouled? Two? Three? No calls. And then there were some phantom calls. I don't normally agree or feel sorry for LeBron James, and he played well. Boy, AD played well. But AD got into foul trouble on a couple of questionable calls. And you know, their coach, two or three players mentioned the officiating last night. Even LeBron mentioned, if you're taking a call to replay, how do you miss some of these calls at replay when you look at them? And I would have to say last night, and I watched a bunch of this game. It was a great game. Denver got the beneficiary of the calls. Now they're the home team. Maybe that's what happens. It's a subconscious thing. That's why there's a home court advantage. But I do think in both these games last night, and this is the sad part, you don't want, especially in the playoffs where they let physicality happen, how can you let officiating dictate the outcome of the game? The players have to decide that. And I'm not sure that was the case last night. So that is sad, I think, for the NBA. Sitting in the Family Leisure Studios, don't forget the Factory Direct pricing sale going on. It's on swimming pools and spas. And by the way, you can save from $1,000 to $5,000 on one of those if you get to I-40 and Witten Road. They also have really great Factory Direct pricing on patio furniture. The new 24 stuff is in. New materials, new designs. I'm just telling you, these things are now built to last longer, and they're so gorgeous, so comfortable. If you've got a backyard, if you've got a patio, if you've got a pool and you want stuff to be out there so you can really enjoy it, there's no better place, especially now with this Factory Direct pricing sale, than Family Leisure. Let's take a break. When we come back, the business of sports with Joe Denk. He is right around the corner.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10, right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Presented by Homer Skelton Hyundai. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
And what has now become a staple is all about the business, TV ratings, all the behind-the-scenes aspects with which sports operates. And it comes from the former GM of Channel 24 and Channel 30. That is the one and only Joe Denk, who joins us in this time slot every Tuesday. He's now brought to you by Memphis Tourism and the Memphis Sports Council. And Joe, I got to start with the news that, you know, it's distressing to me because my passion, my love, that's golf. And golf, which only for the final round, I don't know if it's because the Tiger story was over, Scottie Scheffler's not a captivating figure, I'm not sure what it was. But the final round of the Masters drew only 9.58 million people. That is down 20% from the year before. That is huge to me. Rory McIlroy, in announcing he was going to rejoin the board of directors, by the way, also said it was troubling to him. What in the world do you think is the reason? Is it because of the split, people are just fatigued of the two leagues and the bickering, or because all the several of the LIV stars were in the Masters. What do you think is the reason for low ratings on golf? Good morning.
Good morning, David. Good to be with you. Well, look, I think as you frame the question and set it up, you begin to maybe expose what the answer might be, because you kind of start with a litany of things that might be wrong. One is LIV, one is Scheffler doesn't resonate with the fans, one is Tiger is no longer relevant. So you list a number of things that you would definitely put on the negative side, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's the question then. Let's talk about what's on the positive side.
All right. To me, the positive would be you've got a dominating player, and we love in sports dominance. We do. We say we want close stuff, but we love when one particular entity or player is by far superior and continually shows us that superiority. Long win streaks get our attention. Dynasties get our attention. The Bulls, the old Warriors, the New England Patriots. We love those teams. Why? Because they dominated at the top level and they won. You got Scheffler. That's a positive. On the women's side, you got Nellie Korda, who, by the way, just withdrew, so she's not going to go for six in a row this week. But you got that story going, and she's an American, for goodness sake, not somebody from South Korea, which I think has always kind of hurt the LPGA ratings. Not to put them down, because they're great, but they've never captured America's fancy, honestly. But I think dominance is absolutely – a positive for drawing eyeballs. And, you know, I'm not sure golf as an entity has ever been more popular since COVID. More people play golf than ever before. I don't know why it's not translating, though.
Well, but I think there's always been a difference between people who participate and people who watch. And to the point that you were just making about dominance, I think another component, though, of the dominant people and or teams, you know, are personalities. Personalities and people who have that ability to draw those who would otherwise not be interested in the sport. Tiger certainly did that. Tiger did that the way nobody else did. Michael Jordan did it for the NBA for a long time, right? Michael right. brought people to the Michael brought people to watching Bulls games on TV, you know, people who knew nothing about the league. I remember once, this is a quick aside, but it proves the Michael Jordan point. At the time I was in Wisconsin and I was pitching a woman in Chicago in an advertising agency. Her entire cubicle was covered in Michael Jordan stuff. She looked up at me and she said, "Does Milwaukee have a team?" So I mean, that's the example, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the examples of where people don't do this. Not the same thing. I mean, the Korda story is a great story for people who love golf. She hasn't cut through anything else to get any kind of visibility. I mean, you hate to do it, but, you know, we just went through Caitlin Clark mania. We're going to start up again in another few weeks when the Fever start playing. And she can't, you know, she can't cut through anything. And that tournament this weekend, now I don't have the ratings on that. That would be interesting as well. But, you know, she won. It was uninterrupted. It delayed a little bit on Saturday, but Sunday's round was uninterrupted, and I think the men's were delayed.
And it was on NBC. Yeah.
It was on NBC. So you had the highest, you know, you had as good a platform as you can. It'll be interesting. We'll look for that and maybe look at that next week. Yeah. But, that, you know, and that's the old Dinah Shore tournament, right? And she jumped into the water. She did everything, but who knows it? Who knows it besides guys like us who pay attention all the time?
Well, I think she could become a star. She's pretty. Her swing is gorgeous. She seems to be fairly interesting. She does not want the attention. You know, that's the one thing I noticed about Caitlin Clark. She didn't mind all the love, really. Okay?
<That's right>. It worked out well. Yes,
and if you listen to Nelly Korda, she talks about the bubble. Not letting people inside the bubble. So I think you right. have to be a willing partner to fame in order to have fame. And so it would be good for golf, and in particular the LPGA, if Nelly Korda would embrace this. You know what? I'm just thinking about this. The one person that really did get people turned on to women's golf was Nancy Lopez. Even Annika Sorenstam, who really and truly was a better golfer than Nancy Lopez in the long run. And I love Nancy. I'm a Nancy Lopez guy. But Annika really had a great game. And even Annika tried to play in some PGA events. But for whatever reason, there wasn't that charisma with her. And then there was the dominance of the Asian players that just didn't pick up America's fancy. So the LPGA needs a star, and I think Korda could do it if she really wanted to.
And that's, I think you touched on the key there. That's, you know, there, right now, Korda's going, is seemingly taking a more Sorenstam type approach than certainly something that was an approach similar to the way Tiger was out there and available and so magnetic to the crowd. And you know, Caitlin has much of that too. And so it remains to be seen. But it's a great story in terms of golf, right? But it's not, it's just not resonating with casual or non-fans. Yeah. And that's where the big numbers come from when you resonate with that group.
And that apparently is the problem for all of golf. We'll keep our eye on those ratings as the year goes on. Let's go to the big news, the incredible news for the University of Memphis last week with the marketing department of Fred Smith's company, FedEx, saying, "We will give you," and some of this comes from their ending their agreement with the Commanders, the Washington Commanders in the NFL, that they will give Memphis $5 million a year for the next 5 years, a total of $25 million, strictly for NIL, for men's and women's basketball, for football, and for other women's programs. And I know soccer player and volleyball players were involved in the FedEx promotional video of this. This became a national story because, as several writers viewed it, this was the true intent of the way name, image, likeness was supposed to work. A company using their brand and your brand to better you and to pay you for that privilege. Your take on the whole thing?
Well, first, it's remarkable. It is groundbreaking, and it made huge news, not just in Memphis, but all across the college sports space, as it were. So, once again, FedEx stepped up. Once again, FedEx does something to take a lead, and Memphis, I believe, is a true beneficiary. I do think, interestingly, the most striking part of it really goes to the roots of how NIL was first intended and first portrayed, because the athletes that benefit at the University of Memphis will, in effect and in actuality, as we understand it based on the various press releases and descriptions of the program, they are going to make appearances on behalf of FedEx and things like FedEx Cares and other programs in the community. I saw Habitat Humanity mentioned in some places and other kinds of things like that. And there will be different types of activation where these athletes will be appearing on behalf of FedEx. And, you know, I remember you and I talking about NIL before it ever really became the reality that it is today. And we were always, you know, that was our assumption. It would be a company that would have athletes and members of the institutions appearing on behalf of sponsors. So that will be interesting if that starts to help maybe reel in some of what some of us think is not the true intent of NIL and had kind of started to evolve, as you and I have talked earlier on this program, about simple pay for play and nothing else. So this may have really good impact in multiple ways. First, because it's such an important national sponsor, one that has been so associated with so many levels of sports. That's important. The second is the nature of it and how they have portrayed they're going to proceed, and that may actually bring NIL back to what we all once thought it might have been, and very few people ever really thought there was anything troubling about that part.
You know, you just brought up a good thing about the charities. It reminded me a topic for you and me off the air. That is, we need to get a hold of FedEx to have an athlete come for the walk, the Alzheimer's walk in October.
Absolutely. Yeah, there you go. That's a great example.
Yeah, I love it. All right, let's move on to the next. Part of the engineering of all this with FedEx was the athletic director, Laird Veach, who in 4.5 years really accomplished quite a bit. Now he gets to go back to a place that apparently he loves. This is not the first time he tried to get this gig. He got it. Congratulations to him. But he has set it up. And I must say, Tom Bowen, R.C. Johnson, they all set it up to make this an attractive job for anybody coming in. And several of the candidates that we have seen in print or discussed, those are guys that have already come through the University of Memphis system, know the school, know the donors, know the way everything works. I think whoever takes this job, it's all set up. And Laird Veach had a lot to do with that.
I agree with that. It's really positioned interestingly right now. It's also one of those things where the challenges that are on the table are great, but there's nothing, I mean, if you come in here and you pull off some of these big challenges and complete them, you know, I mean, you look at it, okay, so the stadium deal is in place, but it's now got to be pulled off, right?
True.
The fundraising, you know, we know how much it costs. We know how much money you have, but there's still the $50 million piece that the university has to go get to pull that off. And then you got to start to build this, you know. So whoever gets it, that's going to be, you know, project number one is complete the fundraising and complete the renovation. Get through what, frankly, you know, looks like a couple of challenging seasons, given the capacity of the stadium, given the configuration of the stadium, while it's being rebuilt. It's going to be a different experience, I believe, for sure, for the next two football seasons. So whoever gets this job is going to have to manage and deal with that. Now, is this NIL deal that we just talked about is a great opportunity, but now it has to be implemented and run and worked out. And so there's a great challenge for that. And then finally, I think the most important thing, the challenge is going to be to make sure that Memphis is positioned to be a top choice if and or when conference realignment opportunity occurs again, right?
Right.
And so those are the three big things. So you find somebody who can do that, they're going to make a huge name for themselves. That's always attractive to the right kind of people to come in and to do that. There are names bandied about and things. I think that, you know, a lot of what we talk about now in terms of college athletics with the impacts of things like the portal and NIL and all of the things that are evolving in the conference realignment, it is a brave new world, and maybe there's a guy out there, a man or woman, a person out there, who is really ready to take off in this so-called brave new world, comes with no preconceived notions of anything and is ready to go with the way things are today and can knock it out of the park, with the ultimate result being that if that opportunity occurs, Memphis is the top choice and slides right in. So I think that's important.
I believe there are more than one candidate.
I really
think there are several out there that could do the job. And now the president, this is going to be one of the bigger decisions he makes. Let's face it. Laird was in place when he got here. This is a big choice, and he's a guy that loves athletics. So I am sure he is tuned in and ready. Final thing, we've actually gone longer on this than I had anticipated, as I always do with you, and that is the NBA, which we'll probably get more into in a couple of weeks. But I do want to go into this because I know you've already done a lot of work, and the window has just ended. And you made me aware of this. I was not cognizant of it at all. And that is that ESPN and Time Warner, which owns TNT, they had an exclusive window to renegotiate their deal. That window came to an end last night. And I, as a viewer who have watched the successful programs on both of the networks, and in particular TNT, I'm a little surprised this ran out. Why did it?
Well, I think a couple of things. Reports have it that a deal is very close with both ESPN and TNT, though they did not close it during the exclusive window. And probably that was because the league is trying to create some additional packages that can be available. So there have been, in the past 9-year deal, just the two packages, one by Disney, one by Warner Brothers, Discovery, and now they're looking to maybe go to as many as four. And this means either another party such as NBC comes in, or the more likely is that a streamer such as Amazon, Apple, on Netflix, maybe even YouTube comes in. And so what the league is looking to do is maybe create some additional packages. Think of Thursday night football being exclusively streaming on Amazon, right?
Mm-hmm.
If all of a sudden the league creates something that is an exclusive package on a given night of games and it's only on a streamer. One thing that has been bandied about for some time now is that the in-season tournament, which was fairly successful, the in-season tournament championship game was the second highest rated national TV NBA rating this year.
Wow.
So the in-season tournament, frankly, has even been talked about as becoming a Netflix exclusive for that. So there's a set of games subsetted out of this, not unlike what the NFL has done, and that creates great value to somebody else. You know, the NFL, remember, they pulled that one playoff game and put it on Peacock this year. Peacock had great success. They've retained about 70% of the people that subscribed to Peacock just to watch that Chiefs playoff game. They say 70% have stayed subscribers, so they consider that a huge win for them. So that's, I think, what the NBA is doing. I would be very surprised if ESPN and Warner Brothers to not stay part of this. I think they will. They may have fewer regular season games because some of this stuff is going to be picked up and put in other places. They may have a couple fewer playoff games than they do. ESPN very badly wants to keep the finals on ABC. They love that piece of it. And Warner Brothers loves having one of the conference finals on the rotating basis each year. So it's timely because that exclusive window ended last night. Now, remember, all of this starts not next at next season is the final year of the current deal.
Okay.
And I'll leave you with this on this issue. Contemplate this for a moment. The current deal, okay, for the nine-year deal that will expire after next season was for $24 billion, okay?
What do they think
they are looking get? For? They are looking for the next deal to come in somewhere between $50 and $75 billion.
So almost triple, if they can. Wow, that would be. The players would love that too because they get 53% of that revenue
think
stream.
About that.
Whoa, Joe is
who benefits from? Yep.
You're on top of everything. I'm out of time. We are going to take a 2-week break because I'm going to be gone. But. We appreciate it, and we'll pick right back up with this story because it'll probably be hot and heavier at that point when you return. Thank you so much.
Safe travels, my friend.
All
thank
right.
you.
Thank you. That is our friend. That is Joe Denk on the business of sports. Lots of business been going on with the University of Memphis and their basketball program, and Jason Munns absolutely knows all the comings and goings. He'll come your way in a second. He's brought to you in part by Southern Security, your home team credit union. And if you have a dream of owning your own home, it can be a reality. It can really easily be a reality with Southern Security. They're here to make that home buying journey a literal breeze. Contact them today. Explore your options. Secure the financing you need. They have all different kinds of terms, 10 to 30 year terms, conventional FHA, VHA loans are available, always the lowest rates. They even have mortgage buying counselors that are available to talk with you. If this is your first venture, they make it simple for you. I promise. Just call 901-452-7900 or you can go to southernsecurity.org. I like talking to people. They like talking to you. Become a part of the family. 70 years of Southern Security making dream homes possible. Southern Security, your home team credit union. Back with Munzee in just a minute.
We are real sports talk. Sports 56 WHBQ. Available on your radio dial at 560 AM and 98.5 FM, as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, stay tuned in to Real Sports Talk. Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
The sound that flows into my mind. The echoes of the daylight.
Now back to Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Presented by Homer Skelton Hyundai. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
My man, Jason Munns. Tiger beat writer extraordinaire is also a bit of a prophet. I think he tweeted yesterday or the day before. He goes, you know what? I love this time of year because I never know what I can expect. And, big day yesterday. Two new Tiger players. On top of that, the AD going. Jason, you were prophetic in all these moves. Good morning.
Good morning, Wolo.
What's happened today? Anything I've missed already? I mean,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Something's already happened?
You missed another moon landing and No, I'm just kidding.
This is crazy.
Yesterday was one of those days that a few years from now, I'm sure I'll be telling stories about it, but no, today has been the phone has not slowed down.
Are we getting anything new today? I mean, is this, are we going to get a little quiet time today, or is there going to be another bombshell? First of all, we can start with the players or the AD, whichever one you choose.
I choose players.
All right. So as I look at this roster, first of all, now the Tigers could actually have a practice 5-on-5 because they had enough players for that. They signed two new guards. So let's just quickly. It's Tyrese Harris, Baraka Okoji.
Okoji, yeah.
Right. Then you got P.J. Haggerty, Colby Rogers, Jared Harris. You've got Jordain and Danja. You got Joe Cooper and Noah Stansberry.
So yeah, they could
actually have a practice.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That is good.
But it's all guards except for Jordain and Danja. You don't have a big man in the mix. So I'm assuming the next couple of picks here, portal guys, and they are picks, aren't they? The picks from the portal.
They kind of are, yeah.
They're going to be big guys. All right, let's start with Tyrese Harris. He's the kid from from Texas, who originally was freshman of the year in the Big 12, right, at Iowa State.
Yep, Tyrese Hunter. He is from Racine, Wisconsin.
Yeah,
he's got a couple of ties to Memphis. Well, not ties, but he, if you remember back in 2021, they played the Iverson Classic here in Memphis at Bartlett.
Yeah,
because of COVID and for whatever reason, they played it here, and Iverson was here for it. And anyway, they had like Paulo Banchero and Chet Holmgren.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, they had like the who's who. There was no McDonald's All-American game that year, and so that was kind of like it. That was the year where everybody played in the Iverson Classic, and except I think Kennedy Chandler was like the one notable who did not. But Tyrese Hunter kind of had a whale of a game. He was named MVP. He scored 20 points. And so he's not unfamiliar to Memphis. And then I think a few months after that, when he was at Iowa State, they played Memphis up in Brooklyn and in the preseason NIT tip-off and beat Memphis pretty soundly.
Oh, terribly. And Memphis was never in that game. And that was when you had some pretty good young players.
Yes, and so he had a pretty darn good game that game. I mean, he only scored 9 points, but he had like 5 assists and 3 or 4 steals and 3 or 4 rebounds. He also had 5 turnovers, but he won Big 12 Freshman of the Year honors that season, played the last 2 years at Texas. Now he's coming here. This past year, he had a career-high 11.1 points per game and shot a career-best 34% three. But really, like, he's kind of the total package. Like he has that sort of like it factor about him. Like everybody I've talked to about him says kind of the same thing, that he has that dog mentality that Penny kind of lamented not having enough of this past season. And, so yeah, you're getting a guy who's played at very high levels. Every team he's been on has made the NCAA tournament. I think they made the Sweet 16 when he was at Iowa State and made the Elite Eight when he was at Texas his first year. So like he's made deep runs in March and he's got that experience. So big addition, Tyrese Hunter.
And then Barack Kochi, is he a starter? He seems to be a defensive-minded kind of guy. He's got good size, 6'3". Give me the story about the kid from George Mason.
He could be a starter, but, you know, he could also – maybe he won't be, depending on how the rest of this all shakes out. I think he could certainly be a starter. He was a starter at George Mason in the A-10. He only started 9 games because he's only 18 years old. He reclassified up a year and left high school a year early. And so he only played in 21 games, but as the year went on, they realized they needed to get him on the floor a lot more, and they did. And when he was starting, his numbers improved than when he was coming off the bench. Not only that, he also helped George Mason beat both Dayton and Richmond last year down the stretch. So two big feathers in his cap there. He's about like Tyrese Hunter from a scoring standpoint, but he's young, he's smart, he is skilled. He can shoot it a little bit, not really. I mean, that's not his game. His game is more about making plays for others while also being another one of those guys that sort of has that dog mentality on defense.
All right, so now you put those together. You're going to get plenty of scoring from Haggerty and Colby Rogers. I have no idea where Harris is in all of this, but I think he's a three-point shooter, right? So you've got a couple of threats from the outside to shoot. Mm-hmm. Where does this put DJ? Is David Jones, you still think 70-30 coming to Memphis? How will he fit in with these guys if indeed he does?
So to me, David, yeah, I think it's still better than a 50-50 shot that David comes back. Obviously that can change. He hasn't even had a single workout yet since he declared for the NBA draft. So, you know, depending on what kind of feedback he gets, that could change. But to me, well, I know this for a fact, Memphis has, they're doing this because they have to, but they are going about their business this offseason as if David is not going to be back. That doesn't mean they don't think he will be back. That doesn't mean they don't hope he will be back. But they have to proceed as if he won't so that they don't get caught holding the bag, so to speak, if he decides not to return. So my belief is that David is the type of player who can fit in anywhere. I mean, what he does is not really predicated on fit. It's like he's just a great player.
Yeah.
He's just a great, great offensive player who can fit in with anything that any team is doing. And so, especially if it happens to be back at a place that he was at the season before, like, you know, he's not going to be breaking in. He would be breaking in with a whole new set of teammates, but he wouldn't be breaking in with a new coaching staff and a new coach. So
if he's not there, how good are these? We just named seven guys. Some can score, no question. Haggerty is a guy who can flat-out score. Rogers can flat-out score. Hunter and Okoji can really set you up. It looks like it's going to be a decent defensive team. We know that Nick Jourdain can certainly be a rim protector to a certain extent, and Danger can too. How good is this team with just those seven guys?
I think that remains to be seen. I don't know that I would pick that team on its own, you know, just with those guys to win the league. I think what there's still a couple of things that I would say they need. One of them is another true big man.
Yeah.
And then I would say the probably bigger than that though is like a face up big, like a DeAndre Williams, Naquan Tomlin type of guy.
Are those guys out there?
I think they are. Yeah. Or they will be. They think there will be. To me, that's what would take it. You know, like once you get that type of player in the boat, that to me would be like, okay, this team has a real chance to, like, a legit, like that. That would be my pick to win the league. If they can go out and get somebody, you know, a face up big who can not only bang down low, but can also step out and hit some threes, who can also rebound it really well and blind, kind of a do everything guy.
And get David Jones too. You get those two pieces. Now you're talking about being nine deep, and it looks like you've got a team. But David Jones, And next time we talk, we want to get into that NIL that you did a good piece on, okay, on how you pay these foreign players. But I got to ask you before we run out of time, were you surprised by Laird Veach leaving? I mean, he just did the blue-gray game in the interview with Greg Gaston on the field like everything was, let's go, baby. Thank you, Fred Smith. I mean, you couldn't tell he was leaving. So were you stunned by that? And who do you think is the odds-on favorite that will be the new AD?
I would say the only thing that surprised me was probably the timing of it. I felt like once we got past that initial wave when Missouri's former AD left that job for Arizona, you know, you expected things to move fast, and when they didn't, you kind of just, I don't know, got lulled to sleep a little bit. And so the timing more than anything else. Like, if it had happened whenever, you know, within a week or two of, or even a month, of that job opening up, I would have not been surprised in the least. But it lingered for a little while, and so that was probably the only thing that surprised me. I mean, after all, Laird went for this job back in 2021,
right?
And so anyway, it didn't really surprise me. He's had his eye on that job for a while, but as far as candidates go, obviously Bill Hargrave just within the last 20-30 minutes announced that Jeff Crane, the deputy athletics director, he's going to be the interim AD while they conduct their search for Laird's permanent replacement. I think Jeff is a candidate. I think he's a legitimate candidate. He's been there right alongside Laird, you know, pretty much since Laird got here, helping him, you know, navigate everything he's had to navigate while he was here.
Right.
The stadium deal being the biggest one, I would say. So he's obviously going to be a prime candidate. I think Mark Aldnut at Buffalo is one that I would keep an eye on. Alan Green, who is at Tennessee, he's the senior associate athletic director at Tennessee, former Auburn athletic director,
right,
former Buffalo athletic director, worked here at Memphis before all that. So he's somebody I would think would get a long look, and then possibly Tim Duncan down at the University of New Orleans, who
former Tiger, former Melrose High School player.
Yeah, former teammate of Penny Hardaway.
Yeah,
here at Memphis. So he's the athletic director down at the University of New Orleans. So I'd keep an eye on him as well. But
I throw in Adam Walker too, who just left the school,
yes,
at Kansas State,
yes,
now is the CEO, president of their alumni.
Yep, we had a commercial appeal. We had a
you guys did a great job on that. You really did.
A list of candidates, and Adam was on that list. Very much should be in consideration.
Ryan Alpert, Ziggy, and that, you guys, you were thorough. There's no doubt. We're out of time, my friend. I appreciate it. This is your new spot. Now I'm going to be gone the next couple of weeks. Zach and Brian Dacus are going to be around. So if you want to be a part of that, you can be for sure. I'll get with you a little bit later today.
All right. Sounds good, Willow.
Hey, got to do business live on radio. That makes it real authentic. Thank you, my friend. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.
That is Munzee, Jason Munz from the Commercial Appeal, brought to you by Ken, third generation of Ken Garland, Custom Home Builders. William's now in. He's learning the job. In fact, he's already been on the job a while. He knows the job. It's never done, by the way, with Ken Garland, Custom Home Builders. That's one of the things Ken likes to say. If the job is completed, you've got any issues, it's not over for them. They are with you all the way. They look, you know, it's top quality construction. It always has been. It's palaces around the town or renovations with innovations or, you know, even a smaller job. Whatever they do it perfectly, on time, on budget. And when the job is over, if there are any issues, Ken Garland says the job's not done. We're still there for you. You just can't beat it. All you got to do is look at the website, kengarland.com, or call, because they're fun to talk to. Little details, big picture, they view it all at once. 751-1632, that's the number for Ken Garland, Custom Home Builders. That'll do it for us. Johnny Radio is right around the corner. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning. Have a great day, everybody.